Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Miss Harris, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, man. Yeah.
I turned off these headphones. I had these Bluetooth headphones. I turned them off and it shut me down, so I had to call back in. So that's what I did. But yeah, we're back in. We already have a caller on the line.
Oh, all right. Well, let's go. All right. Keep an eye on it. Well, go ahead, caller. What you got? What you want to know?
No. We haven't started the show yet. We got 1 minute.
Oh, because she just gave me the 5 seconds. I just heard it through the 5 seconds. Oh, okay.
Okay, let's do that.
You say we got a caller already?
Yes, we do. We'll get right to that caller.
More sound.
Through this big show. Good morning on this snowy morning, and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. My name is Don Allen in Studio A. Over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, I walked outside.
What snow are you talking about, Don, this morning? Man, you've been drinking or something? There ain't no snow, man.
It's been snowing, literally snowing, a light, fluffy snowflake for about the last 25 minutes. It's just starting to let up over here. It's not sticking. But it's definitely coming.
Well, I'll be doggone, man. Yeah, because I was wondering where that was. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. All right, then. So, we got, man? Does everything is – looks like Keith Ellison is in as Attorney General. And it looks like he's going to make it. Looks like all the women were lying. All the women lied and such, right? Anything in this morning's paper, can we tell?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking in this morning's paper. I don't see very much about it at all whatsoever. It's like Star Tribune just gave us a little piece of something, and then walked away. This is Teflon.
Well, they did some selective reporting, didn't they? But you know, the phone lines are open. I mean, God dang me, you know, if folks want to call in, tell us what their thinking is. We're 2 weeks away from going to the polls, man, and making history. Black man going to become Attorney General of the state of Minnesota, right? Is that right?
Right. And that's what they want. People are talking, and, you know, what's really shocking in all this, Mr. Edwards, is I look at people like Al Franken and Louis C.K., a couple of the guys that were comedians that just had allegations without any proof made against them that stepped down. And in this case, you know, we have a history. We know about Amy Alexander. That's documented, well documented, and what happened there. And then this Karen Monahan comes forward, and people pretty much ignore her, you know. And, I mean, she did the slip-up. I think it would have been a little different if she wouldn't have said that there was a videotape. Because now everything is hinging on the videotape. And if she does have a videotape, what is she waiting for?
Absolutely.
And I'm not trying...
point well taken. Yeah, as part of a investigative portfolio, if you will, absolutely. But the Democratic Party did their own self-investigation, and they came back and said there was nothing to it. I have to tell you that one of the issues that I'm bothered by that nobody touches is the issue of Geraldine Williams, the 58-year-old African-American woman murdered in 2000, and that whole relationship. But nobody wants to touch that. Nobody wants to deal with it. I guess, you know, she must not have any family here or something like that. But again, Geraldine Williams, 58 years old at the time of her murder by two Caucasians, right outside, almost outside the gates of the women's correction facility down there in Shakopee, Minnesota. But hey, all we can do is analyze it and put it out there. But it looks like everything is copacetic, looks like all those women lied. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Ms. Edwards, it looks like we have a caller here. Let me see what's going on. What's your name and what's your question?
Yes, my name is Mr. Seymour, and I tend to see a little more than others. I've been listening to you gentlemen for quite some time now, and I go back a few years where, Mr. Allen, you called the DFL the plantation of the Minneapolis North.
Of Minnesota, yes. The plantation.
Well, yes. Now, it seems that the DFL is the plantation overseers, and Mr. Keith Ellis, Hakeem Mohammed, it shows that in your paper up there, he seems to have two types of allegiance, and he has several gods that he represents. He's got a Lutheran representation. He's got a Jewish rabbi representation. I mean, this guy's carrying too much water to be such a corrupt individual, and I'm just trying to figure out, is that really a plantation up there, and is Mr. Ellison a real black man for both institutions, and what is really his hidden ulterior motive to try and get himself in there? Like you stated, Mr. Allen, there's other people that had allegations and had to back out, Mr. Franken being the last giant of the Senate from that particular part of the country. He never contested in anything. He just backed out and went away. And Mr. Ellison's case, it seems like you guys don't have anybody else to oversee the Democratic plantation, and they're basically forcing him to try and get in there any corrupt way that they can. I mean, are the black people up there that real bad off on that plantation up there? Because, you know, in the South, you used to have two people wearing the shoes, the boss and the hoss. And I don't understand just what is his hidden ulterior motive to try and force his way into the general.
Well, I don't know. Don, you have any response to this call, Mr. Seymour? I really can't tell you. All that Don and I can work with is that it's quite clear that the leadership here, African-American leadership and supporters of the congressman are saying that he was vilified improperly and et cetera. He's a great, great person, that Ms. Monahan doesn't know what she's talking about. Ms. Alexander doesn't know what she's talking about. There were a couple of other women, too. In fact, they were all together at a party at the house and the home of a former mayor, Sharon Self Felton, a couple nights ago. They were all there and partying and having a good time. But I don't know. Our take as journalists here is that he's been exonerated, if you will, irrespective of the Williams case, if you will, irrespective of allegations also about his trustworthiness as it pertains to the period in time that he was working with the Obama administration on the Iranian nuclear plan and et cetera back in 2015, 2016. But, you know, we can only, as journalists, if you will, or commentators on talk radio across the world, all we can go with is the response of a community. Isn't that correct, Mr. Allen?
That is absolutely correct, Mr. Edwards, because, you know, we're looking at this whole thing, and there's an academic term for what's going on. It's called pluralistic ignorance. And that's when a group of people get together and decide they don't want to change their mind, that they're going to think one way, the same way about one situation, when there's evidence that there is something else going on, that there is something else happening with this individual or situation. My thing is, I see all these people taking pictures of these fundraisers with Congressman Ellison, and oh my Lord, when Harry Weinstein and Franken and all them allegations, they were the first ones to run the social media.
John Conyers,
oh,
don't forget our beloved John Conyers out there in Michigan, who stepped down with less than a whimper. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Allen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And these people, they were vilifying all these men. Like, you have to step down. You have to step down. But all of a sudden in Minnesota, you know, just the allegation alone put everything into question in my mind. But I don't know what's going on in Congressman Ellison's mind. I do know that I have not seen what he's done as a congressman. His office is across the street from a health clinic in North Minneapolis, where over 90% of the people who use that health clinic are 174% below the federal poverty line. So if you're in the middle of poverty in your community where your office is and you have not done anything to change the trajectory of that poverty, then you're an ineffective congressional leader, period. So with that said, you know, the Northside Funders report came out and says, well, to get the black unemployment down around the white unemployment, they would have to get 7,000 people in North Minneapolis jobs, terrible jobs. I don't care if it's Wendy's, White Castle, Burger King, or McDonald's. You know, you'd have to get 7,000 people.
Well, wait a minute, let me cut in, Mr. Allen, please now, but because we have talked about that, and I certainly have written about it for the last 5 years, and here's what I'm puzzled by. We had a caller as an example about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. A woman called, indicated that she had all this information. In fact, she was supposed to send us the documentation of all of the black folks that worked there on the two big projects on the corner of Penn and Plymouth in North Minneapolis. And then we had Ms. Seymour. I don't know how familiar you are, sir, with us up here in Minnesota, but when they built the big stadium that the big Vikings play in, and people, most black folk cannot afford a ticket. But when you talk about that, we on this program talked about for a number of years. I wrote about it for 4 years during the construction of mm-hmm. the People's Stadium. That we were told by the Commissioner of Human Rights, a gentleman by the name of Kevin whatever, that we had over 2,700 Negroes were working on the stadium. We were told that at least 300 to 400 Negroes were working on the facility there, the Thor World Headquarters, as well as the funeral home. And see, mm-hmm. when you get confronted without documentation, and you try to point that out, what Mr. Allen just said to, you know, the diagnostic examination of how people think. That's what you run into, because we had a woman call us and just bless us out. What was that, Don, about a month and a half ago, that we were beating on the congressman by raising questions about what he had done. We didn't have a right as journalists on the Fourth Estate to raise that issue, if you will. And so, Mr. Seymour, is that it, Seymour? That's what it is. I mean, it's just like the case of the Williams woman murdered here in 2000. We tried to get people to take a look and examine the circumstances of her murder, if you will, by two Caucasians, the drug dealers, and people just said they weren't interested, you know. So I just don't know what else we can do. Do you have any other questions, Mr. Seymour, that we can open up to the rest of our listening audience this morning here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul? Anything else for us, sir?
Yes. I sit down some mornings and I go to a coffee shop kind of on the south side of Chicago, and I sit down with some Muslim guys. They're real nice, decent, wholehearted individuals. They're with that Wallace D. Muhammad, the son of Elijah Muhammad, and they stated to me that Mr. Elks was running for that Senate seat or congressman seat. He would often come down to Chicago, but they stated now they don't hear from him. They don't see or hear from him. He won't answer any of their phone calls. He won't return any of their calls. And it's kind of like one of the gentlemen blasted the other day and stated he's a hypocrite, he's a phony individual. I mean, they were saying some real disparaging things about him. And I said, wow, you guys are really watching this very close. So can you kind of bring me up to speed? They stated clearly under Islam, or Islam, you're supposed to treat your wife and your family very respectful. If you're going to do something for the people, you're supposed to do it in a very religious and open and honest way. Mr. Ellison, they stated clearly, one gentleman told me it's almost like he's a black chick. And they
can't speak to that. I'm not a Muslim, if you will, and I don't think that to my colleague, Mr. Allen, is. But here's the thing that I will ask. I appreciate, you know, your observation and your conversation with brothers there in Chicago. I've never seen or saw an endorsement by Congressman Ellison's imam, because you have an imam, right, a religious leader. I've never seen a endorsement nor saw a person identify themselves as the imam. I know that at one point the congressman was praying and carrying out his religious responsibilities at a small mosque just off of I don't know how familiar you are with our city, Seymour, Mr. Seymour, but right off of West Broadway and like Lindale. But I would have certainly liked to have seen his imam dispute and contest the allegations against this Muslim practitioner, if you will. And maybe somebody can call in, Mr. Allen, and just tell us the name of the imam and the actual mosque that our congressman, soon to be attorney general of the state of Minnesota, you know, I assume. That we appreciate, Ms. Seymour, your questions. I'm getting a text message here about voter suppression. There's no voter suppression in Minnesota, is it, Mr. Allen? I mean, they allow
not
us
that
to
I know
vote.
Of. I mean, no, not that I know of at all, Mr. Evers. So.
Maybe we'll touch on that in the next 15, 20 minutes, because what's happened is that 300,000 votes of Negroes in Georgia has been suppressed. Oops, look out now. You know. All right, Ms. Seymour, we want to thank you. And we want to try to see if we can get any other calls in on this historical occasion that Congressman Keith Ellison has been totally and absolutely exonerated, that Ms. Alexander, Ms. Mahoney, some others just didn't tell the truth, I guess. I mean, according to what they said was in the document. By the way, there is a court date in December involving the ex-wife. I'm not sure what that was about, Mr. Allen, Mr. Seymour. It's something about not paying fair share. But, hey, you know, again, that's none of our business, I guess. So I want to thank you, Mr. Seymour. Thank you, sir. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Evers, we have another caller. Caller, you're live on the air, 1914. Go ahead. What's your question?
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you, sir?
Good morning, sir. Do you have a question?
I had a question to kind of get to Keith Ellison again. Was there any kind of investigation about the allegations similar to maybe a Kavanaugh kind of – I mean, I'm trying to figure out how you all were saying he was cleared of the allegations. Was there a sort of a Kavanaugh-style investigation or something
that
took place?
Mr. Allen,
you want me to take
that question
because there's
a history here. Caller, you're calling us from Mid-America. Yes, what happened here is that about a month after the allegations by Ms. Mahoney and documents pertaining to Ms. Alexander, the Democratic Party here, the Central Committee, not to be confused with like Russia, where you had a Central Committee of the Communist Party. I mean, you know, there was a examination by a law firm that does legal work for the Democratic Party here in Minnesota, and they conducted about a two-week, three-week investigation, and just about a week and a half ago, they came back and said, you know, everything was copacetic, that there was no supporting evidence or et cetera by any of the women as it pertains to Mr. Ellison, if you will, and then there was even an examination of allegations about a homicide that took place in 2000 here in our state, an African-American woman. We just mentioned her name with another caller. So to your question, sir, no, there was nothing of the elaborate, investigation of Justice Kavanaugh. But the Democratic Party used their legal arm, and they did an investigation, and they said there was no proof, no corroboration of any wrongdoing, by the congressman who will, you know, obviously, I guess, become the next, when the votes are in, you know, will become the next attorney general of Minnesota. His statement initially before the controversy was that he's taking on the role of taking on Donald Trump as we move towards the general election of 2020. So to your question, that was the extent of – oh, I'm sorry. He did ask – the congressman being the congressman did ask the Ethics Committee of the United States House of Representatives to conduct an investigation. Ms. Mahoney and her supporters laughed at that and talked in terms that given the length of time that it takes to do an investigation in the Congress, that he will have already left the Congress because he will be leaving the Congress at the stroke of midnight on the 31st day of December of this year. He will be leaving the Congress. His term is up. The person that is in the lead is a Somali person who looks like she will ascend to the to that seat, if you will. So that's what it is right now here. There was not a Kavanaugh kind of examination. I don't even know that they put the pressure on that they put on our Al Franken, if you will. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
So it was basically a Democratic investigation. The Democrats investigating themselves, sort of. Is that what you're?
Well, sir. Sort yes, of, I. You know, you have to say that because the law firm.
Yeah.
Though, one of the things that Congressman didn't know is an individual who was an attorney in the law firm that used to work with Mr. Ellison before his law license expired, is representing Ms. Mahoney. Boy, that was a surprise. And for anybody who wants to challenge us, that was in the big Minneapolis Star Tribune newspaper 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
A guy by the name of Parker, right, Mr. Allen? Parker.
Yep.
A guy by the name of Parker, an attorney that had been working in the same office as the attorney that's now representing Karen Moynihan. So it's kind of confusing up here, but to your specific question again, sir, as we prepare to vote here in Minnesota, you know, is that was the extent of the investigation. Anything else for it?
Oh yeah, just one other area I wanted to, you had mentioned voter suppression. There's that issue there in North Dakota about, I think they're trying to make it difficult for Native Americans to vote. Something about the residential address versus a P.O. box, I believe.
Yes,
and a lot of,
they have
P.O. boxes generally.
They're doing it in Minnesota also.
Okay.
Yeah, they're doing that here in Minnesota as it pertains to the Natives on the reservations here. It's just that information has been suppressed because we are so liberal here in Minnesota that we wouldn't want anybody to question us. But I'll tell you something that happened.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I've been working with a small group of African-American voters here very quietly, and my attention was drawn to a card, a very official-looking card sent out by the local county here. About a month and a half ago, and this came on the heels of a favorable decision in the state of Ohio where, unfortunately, black folks and others of color weren't paying any attention to their junk mail, and they had received a document, I was able to work closely with a couple of African-Americans who caught Hennepin County. That's the county that we reside in here. That the county seat is Minneapolis, where, you know, the broadcasts are originating. And what happened was we had a couple of African-Americans who stayed the course, and they found out that their names had been purged from the voting rolls, as they are doing in Georgia right now as we speak. I mean, I hear a lot of folks talking about the sister there in Georgia, and everyone thought that she had a chance, if you will, but just earlier this morning. In fact, we saw it on the, to just confirm it, if anybody wants to challenge us, on the ANJOY, that's a program, African American woman on MSNBC. Lo and behold, 321,000 black votes have been purged in Georgia. And here in Minnesota, people are going to be surprised when they go to the polls because they didn't respond to this card. It looks like a piece of junk mail, but it says that if you do not reside at the address listed on the reverse side of this card, contact your voter registration office to correct your voter registration and et cetera. And what has happened, what we uncovered here, what I uncovered working with a small group of African Americans, is that they had been purged. They had been purged from the voter rolls. Now, the Pacific individual fought his behind off, sir, in forcing them to put him back on the voter rolls. And if anyone wants to challenge, we certainly would encourage that person to call in because we know that they do listen. They were very appreciative of what we did. But we do have voter suppression here in Minnesota and a lot of African-Americans in heavily concentrated black areas like North Minneapolis, St. Paul, Rondledale, have been purged. But it's something we're not supposed to talk about, sir.
Oh, okay. I had a question, I guess, for Don Allen. These issues about voting and challenges to voting seem to be coming from the Republican Party. I haven't heard any about any challenges from the Democratic Party. I just kind of like his thoughts on that. What's going on with
on the
voter party right
on
now?
On the voter suppression?
Yeah.
Yeah, Don, go ahead. Sure. Yes, he said, you guys on the right, what are you saying about this?
Well, I mean, it's very interesting because it's easy to fall and point at the right, but you also need to look at what the left is doing. Are they getting people out to vote? Are they paying pockets of people in their communities, like here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, where they're actually hiring people at $15, $20 an hour to go around and make sure people are registered to vote? I don't think there's that much voter
like you do in
suppression.
Chicago and Philadelphia. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's that much voter suppression here. I think that Minnesota is one of the most lenient states when it comes to the voter suppression. I don't think that it happens that often, but I do understand those mailers going out and people not catching it. And that's simple. If you don't live at the address,
we need to be careful now because we have no empirical data that shows because our black leaders have stayed away from it now. I'm a little surprised if you're on the right. We have no documentation of how many African Americans have been purged, and we need to be honest with our caller. We really don't know to the extent, but I can tell you, I work with a small group of African Americans, and every one of them had been purged from the voter registration in violation of their constitutional rights.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just wonder what's the theory behind doing this from the right? I mean, other than
let me interject here. The Republicans can't go out and purge people. That's a state voter action. Okay? This is not the Republican Party during the election year saying we need to purge 400,000 people from Minnesota's voters' rolls. That is not a party decision. That is a state decision. Based on these cards and these county things these people send out. So it's a misuse of stats and information when you say the right or the Republicans are purging or starting voter suppression by taking names on the list. They don't have the authorization nor the technology in the Republican Party of Minnesota, I know this for a fact, to do that. All they can
do
is challenge.
Well, Don, but what about a situation, Don, like in Georgia and Ohio, et cetera, where the Secretary of State who handles that down in Kansas, you have a Secretary of State running for governor, and he's been purging the rolls down there in Kansas left and right. But so what happens when your Secretary of State is a Republican and
well,
is involved this, and has
like
the
said,
statutory
it,
authority
right
to purge?
Well, there must have been a challenge, okay? And like you answered my question. It's the Secretary of State. It's not the Republican Party. So if that Republican
you hear that, caller? You understand? It's
Well, I'm just saying. I'm saying
constitutional
that.
Yeah, he's in office, and if there's a challenge and that they want to check and see who is who, where they're living, where these people are living, yellow, red, black, and white, and they're in office, as you said, the Secretary of State, then they can do that. But what I'm reading in the media, that everyone's just this mass pluralistic ignorance, is that they're looking, and that it's the Republican Party suppressing votes. It's the Republican Party denying black people voting. When clearly, if you look into it, you have to go to those Secretary of State in those states and ask the question, why did you purge X number of voters off the voter rank and file?
Rather okay, but Don, I have to say this. I have to say this in all fairness. Hennepin County is kind of a split state, red and blue. So voter registration as pertains to Hennepin County would be handled by the Secretary of State, who is allegedly a Democrat. How is it that we found these African Americans who have been purged from the voting rolls? Is it something happening with the political parties who are involved in the more internal surveillance? Bad word. Supervision, not surveillance. Yeah.
Okay, I
understand. Caller, does that answer your question, sir?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it does. I'm just saying that there's like an effort from the right, and that's not only just purging, but also redistricting and stuff like that, where they've been overturned by the court because the Republican legislatures, particularly in North Carolina and I think Texas, have tried to redistrict in such a way to eliminate minorities from certain districts. And they've been overturned by the courts. So I'm just trying to figure out why is this effort underway on the right? So
I think we have a number of different theories, but that's something that we'll get from additional callers that may make us understand.
Yeah.
But you just named a couple of states that the federal courts did overturn.
Yeah.
In fact, there's some northern states like Pennsylvania. You've got a big battle going on there in Kansas.
Yeah.
And your number would indicate that you're calling from down in that part of the country. I know that it's something that I have been told and heard that is not to be talked about.
Oh, okay.
The suppression. Yeah, we are suppressing the Native Americans. Oh, by the way, there's a gentleman, I have to be fully the disclosure to you. There is a group called Black Votes Matter. Black Votes Matter. Mm-hmm. Who have been attempting to raise some questions here in the state of Minnesota, and I guess nobody wanted to meet with them or talk to them. They were just on national television this morning, sounding the alert on the states that are involved in voter suppression. An organization is called Black Votes Matter, not to be confused with Black Lives Matter. Black Votes Matter. Something is going on. I'm not sure. All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Hey, Ms. Edwards, we have a couple more callers. Let me get them in.
Oh, let's get them. I'm
callers.
Sorry. Yeah. This is interesting on a Saturday morning. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah,
call 9272,
friend of the show, Ms. Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Don. Thank you for taking my call today or this morning. I'm calling into the show since we're talking about the congressman today, and I'm sure you have other things you're going to be talking about. But I'm calling to offer my support for the congressman, and I'm hoping that everyone vote for him, get out and vote for him in November. So I just really wanted to say that.
Okay, well,
okay,
I think
thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have another
caller. That's the same caller that was supposed to get us the information on all the excellent employment that has been afforded to African Americans
in Minneapolis.
You must have got the document and misplaced it.
Yeah, exactly. We have another caller, 7348. You're live on the air. Who's calling?
Gentlemen, Mr. M. Here, let's see.
What can we do for you, Brother M? What's up?
No, I did have a quick question. I mean, I've listened to the show for today's show. I do have a question. I mean, are you gentlemen, are you supportive of Mr. Ellison, or are you not supportive? Or is that something that as journalists you're not able to formally weigh in on?
Well, I'm not, the right to who to select who you want, Brother M, is kind of a personal kind of thing. I can't speak for Mr. Allen. I choose to keep that information to myself. That's the reason that you go into a voting booth and they draw a curtain and, you know, nobody allegedly, Big Brother, can't look over your shoulder. So I'll just defer that and indicate that I'm quite sure that there are people on both sides of the aisle that will some will vote for him and some won't.
Yeah. Okay, I get that, but I guess I just kind of heard a tenor where there may be some, and I don't know what it is, if it's against him because he's Muslim or short or he's from Detroit or I was just wondering.
Well, let me chime in on that, Mr. M. Here goes the thing here. As journalists, I'm not going to tell people to vote left or vote right. Because personally, I have my reservations for both sides, any side that's out there. So I'm not going to go jump on the bandwagon and say vote for Woodrow or Rudlow or Ellison or anybody else. But I'm looking at the situation personally. But when you're broadcasting on the air, you know, this isn't CNN or any cable news network where they flat out, you know, wave a flag for the Democratic Party all the time. But just to supply the information, let the voters make the decision. Because if you read any of the files that came out in the divorce information from between Congressman Ellison and his wife, who is I like her a lot. She's real cool. I hate that she's being drugged through the mud. But if you look at this, there's a lot more names that pop up. And our leaders, as you know, Mr. M, in this town aren't saying a word. They're hosting these little private parties and support. But, you know, if he loses, you know, and this Wardlow wins, this Republican wins, you know, he'll have all of them at his door. You know, I don't know what our leadership did with the current AG, not much of anything. But what's going to happen if Ellison does not win? What are they going to do then? Probably the same thing. There's been really no major news or interaction with the Attorney General's office and the black community in Minnesota for as long as I can remember, when there should have been. You have
not since the
like,
days of Warren Stannis. Not since the days, Mr. Allen, of Warren Stannis. And for those that have been around Minnesota, they know that is. For those that are historical fakes, they don't. Warren Stannis was the last AG that did try to work with the African-American community. Go on, Mr. Allen. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and so with that said, I'm not going to tell anybody to go vote for the Republican candidate for Attorney General or the Democratic candidate for Attorney General.
You know,
that's not my job.
But in your retort, I mean, I really got to the core of really something that of what I'm seeing in today's political milieu. And one, if you think back to the last presidential election, Dillman, named 45 now, was running. And people were coming out and saying, oh, he's bankrupted these cities. He's brought these casinos in. He's taken these people's pension money and left. But then he wins, and now they say they've been with him the whole time. See, so that's where I get into, you know, who do you believe? You know, you have to be vigilant. You have to listen. You have to do your background. But when I see things like that, when I see the Ted Cruz's, they talk about the man like a dog. But then now he's president, and they've been with him the whole time.
You're talking about because you seem to be kind of commingling. You're talking about Trump because he's the one that had the casinos. Barack Obama didn't have any casinos or bankrupt anything. Yeah, well, you know that. Let me just say for on my behalf, what I'm here to do is to encourage people to vote. You know, too many Americans have fought and died for the right to vote, if you will. That's why we were talking about and spent so much time with the previous caller about suppression. I encourage people to get out and vote. And the choice that they make is their business. If they decide to announce it to the world, that's up to them. If they tell you that that's a private thing and the Constitution protects the privacy, I'm in support of that. All I want to do is see our people get out and vote. Make a determination. Participate in the process, if you will. Too many Americans, particularly black Americans and Native Americans, died so that we had the right to go to the polls and not be looking at men standing there with automatic weapons and et cetera, blocking you from exercising that constitutional right. That's where I'm at, man. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, and to dovetail off that, here, if Ellison wins and he addresses things like homeless school children, the perceived education gap and why it's happening, and tries to retool the Minnesota Department of Education to the point where they're a functioning entity, I'll stand right next to him in full support. But he's had that opportunity as a congressman throughout the years. He's had the opportunity as a congressman to deal with the veteran issues. He's had a lot of opportunities. You know, when you sign off with Senator Amy Klobuchar and the others for shot spotters behind the stadium pointing at North Minneapolis, and you don't do anything for that community or put $500,000 into that community, you know, I think that's troubling. That should be looked at. Now, I'm not going to talk negatively about him. I'm just saying that from my point of view, as reporting on this news, I'm not telling you to vote either or, because in reality, I have challenges with both Congressman Ellison and his opponent for AG. Okay, and he's a Republican, and I'm a Republican.
Another point. I mean, do we really have choices? I mean, really? I mean, in some of these races where you see people running unopposed, where you see people that really don't have backgrounds that you see for these positions, they run unopposed and they get ushered in. So I don't know. I mean, I just have to continue to question the process. And you're right, voting. But I mean, I think we have to have good choices to vote for. And I don't know.
Yeah, well, we in America established a new criteria, unfortunately, when Americans, though not by a plurality, again, not by a plurality, voted Donald Trump in as president of these United States. And that was, everyone was applauding the fact that he, quote unquote, wasn't a politician. And so consequently, he brought something fresh to the table. And so based on that, he would make a good president. Well, you know, history will address that, if you will. But the fact of the matter is that we found out Donald Trump is a whole lot of other things. Including the fact that he, quote-unquote, is a politician. You know, and I will say this. I have been extremely concerned about his absence of taking on Russia. Now, documentation continues to emerge, which shows that the Russians, the word they use is meddled. They've even downgraded that. It started out being interfering. Now it's meddling, like you're talking about a child meddling with another child as they're playing in the sandbox. And so, you know, you're getting this feedback now that the Russians have done this. But just yesterday, the community of intelligence chiefs, in other words, the NSA and the CIA and all the rest of, indicated we really, as a nation, and the Trump administration as a governing body, does not have a plan for the interference. And as we speak, gentlemen, there is tampering going on with the electoral process, and you know, we're all going to be crying and et cetera after the election in 2 weeks about some races that were lost involving African Americans and et cetera that everybody thought they were going to win. And one of the best examples is what's happening. I repeat again, what's happening in Georgia right now as we speak, that the Secretary of State there, who is a Republican, has quietly purged over 300,000 registered voters, the majority of them African Americans. They will not be able to vote. And that whole thing about provisional ballot is just a bunch of BS. We all know what happens to a provisional ballot. First of all, the Secretary of State in the Pacific states counts that ballot. And at the voting station, by and large, what happens when you do the provisional ballot after being denied the opportunity to do a regular ballot, the election clerks take that ballot and put it right in the garbage can. So I'm concerned about things like that, and I'm really concerned about the suppression, and people really need to take a look at what's happening to Native Americans in the Dakotas and Minnesota with this voter suppression. I mean, people better really take a look at it, because that's us. See, we tend to forget, in closing on this end, we tend to forget what happened to young black students at Florida A&M in 2000 in the great election controversy, who were denied by armed police with going to the polling places who lined up for hours in Tallahassee, lined up for hours waiting to vote and were denied the right to vote, which probably cost Al Gore the election in 2000. So, I see things like that, and it scares me. It scares me as an American, who, by the way, I have never missed an election, a presidential election. I just feel, as we were saying to other callers and just saying to you, it is so important, given the lives that were lost in Black America, in the right to vote. And so it's really scary. But I keep my eye on the situation in Georgia because at one time that African-American woman was in the lead and was going to become the first African-American, male or female, to win the governorship in the state of Georgia. Now, hey, nobody knows, man.
Well, but it's so scary because what it is these suppressions, these tactics – I mean, these are mob tactics. I mean, this is really, when you think back to the old days of elections, I mean, these are the same upgraded tactics to sway elections. So, yes, we do have to vote. There's no question about that. I'm with you all.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Take care. Mr. Allen, we got any other callers? Because the last time, I think we've had some good dialogue this early Saturday morning.
Yeah, we don't have any callers, but that number to call in is 347-426-3904.
Okay. What else we have, Don? We got unfortunately the violence and the shooting. By the way, it looks like the Aqua Club is going to surrender their license there. That's where you had the big shooting last Sunday. Three wounded, if you will. Boy, there's a lot of conversation going on about dealing with the Negro problem in downtown Minneapolis. Oops. But then we're not supposed to talk about that, right? We shouldn't talk about that.
No, we're supposed to be absolutely quiet about that, Mr. Edwards. We're not supposed to say a word about it because, you know, our leaders, what I've been looking, Mr. Edwards, I'm just sitting back in the cut. You know that you're one of the most quoted people in the Star Tribune and St. Paul Pioneer Press in the Black community. So I read these articles, and, you know, I look for quotes from the president of the Urban League, president of Sabathany, or CEO, director of Sabathany, of these Stair Step Foundation, these other agencies that are supposed to speak on someone's behalf in the Black community. And we don't see it. And it seems every election year, these people get quiet, so quiet, and not to give any direction. And I'm not saying they have to go out and tell anybody who to vote for and when to vote, but just the issues, like this Aqua nightclub. I've been to Aqua nightclub a few times, and I know they're kind of willy-nilly on security, and I knew the people sometimes that were doing security out there. And if you had a weapon, you could walk right in Aqua. There would be nothing. No one would pat you down. But see, we live in a society where we go out to have fun and have to worry about someone that has a short vocabulary, and when they get angry, they pull out a gun. You know, and shoot people.
Yes.
That's basically what
absolutely,
it is. They fall
absolutely
back.
Correct. And by the way, the Blacks are heavily patronized the Aqua, and yet no one ever, you know, mentioned the fact that the license of the Aqua is owned by a Asian woman. You know what I'm saying? So that brings me back to the question of that one caller who we're still waiting on to provide us with all that information about how many Black folks work. Because, Mr. Allen, based on the fairy tales that I've heard about how many African-Americans are employed and worked on big projects and et cetera, we should have no economic problem whatsoever in our community. There should be no homeless Black students. If you were not talking about adults and et cetera, we're talking about something that you have mentioned quite frequently over the last couple of years. Young people who are still trying to stay in school, who have to wash their cells and when they get to school and to go into the public bathroom in their school and try to clean themselves up, both male and female. Now, we were chastised here about the fact that we needed to issues and educate, et cetera. Now, we've been doing that on this program just today, as it pertains, and I haven't heard anybody call and say that's a good point, other than some people calling from out of state and et cetera. And so I'm just trying to figure out how much fakeism is really going on in our community, man. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I was reviewing some videos last night, Mr. Edwards, and I have a video where I walked down Broadway Avenue a few years back, and I asked people common people walking down the street, who was the president of the Minneapolis Urban League? Nobody could tell me. You know, no one knew. I mean, they had some good
memories. We talked about that quite a few times. Yeah, nobody knew.
Yeah, no one knows anything. And then again, you asking questions about, and this goes to show you, I mean, how many of our youth, let's say ages 14 to 21, are even picking up a newspaper or looking at a news website? How many people are just on social media looking at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and not looking at the decisions being made around them without even knowing? I know I was raised by my parents in the 60s and 70s here in St. Paul that you were supposed to read the newspaper every day. You're supposed to look at the headlines. Our dad made it a point to sit, my brother and I, down on the couch next to him and give my brother the comics and give me the local page while he read the front page and the business page of the Pioneer Press.
Yeah.
I don't think it was called the Pioneer Press in the 60s, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it just shocks me that people have no facts to rely on or fall back on. They just heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend, which is a song, actually. And so you're looking around, you're saying, well, where's this information or this disinformation coming from? How do we in the black community in Minneapolis and St. Paul in the state of Minnesota organize uniquely to have a successful outcomes in areas of education, housing, employment, and economic stability? Because, you know, that think tank in Washington, D.C. came out with a report early 2018 that said that black and Hispanic families across the country will be broke in 10 years. Then they turned around and came out with another report that talked about how if the black community does not get more involved in education and the academic route, that they can't, if a $500 bill pops up, they won't be able to afford to pay it, $300 to $500. You know, and that's terrible when
Absolutely
you see
correct.
millions of people in that situation. And so how do you change that? How do you go out and organize? Ms. Evans, I'd just like to shoot this in here real quick. On Thursday, I should say, they had this Twin Cities Social Justice Fair down at the Science Museum of Minnesota. And myself and Lenny Chisholm did a presentation down there about the state of black education and black educators. And as I walked around to the other rooms and sat in on a couple of the seminars, I walked into one that they were talking about more black teachers. So I expected to see a black educator, you know, leading this discussion. It was a white male from Metropolitan State College, and he's cool. And there was a Hispanic Latino lady. So when they talked about teachers of color or gaining capacity for black teachers, well, they weren't talking about that. They were talking about Hispanic Latino teachers and white teachers from other countries. So that's diversity. That's teachers of color. And so,
yeah.
I mean, I had a huge problem with that, but I just sat there and I listened. And so in this state, we do a lot of boutique engagement. You know, it's pretty. The charts are pretty. The graphs, the information is pretty. But to take actions and solve the problems, it rarely happens. You know, rarely happens. It's just like the opioid.
Let me do the same thing here to keep our eye. We may certainly be talking about it the next Saturday's program. Need to keep your eye, because you just have to mention something as it pertains to education and immigrants and et cetera. Better keep your eye in about another week and a half on the American, the U.S. or Mexican border. You know, all these folks are coming up primarily out of Guatemala and Honduras and et cetera. They're fighting now right along the Honduras and the Mexican border. They are, quote unquote, on their way here, there's thousands. I mean, you know, you better keep your eye on this, because Donald Trump is going to deploy American military forces, and American military forces are not trained just to hit you with a sap, if you will. They're trained to take you out. I would suggest to our international listening audience, keep your eye on what is happening right now at the Honduras-Mexican border. It would take probably about 2 to 3 weeks for this group to get all the way up, coming north through Mexico to the U.S. border. I think that we're looking at a situation where Donald Trump is prepared to take a Vladimir Putin type of action, if you will. I do not think that the president would hesitate to open fire.
All right.
I would suggest that you want to go ahead. What do you got? You got something there? You pull something up?
No. I was just going to tell people the number, but go ahead. You can finish.
No, I've got it. That's what it is. You need to keep an eye on the thousands of refugees that are pouring out of Central America who are going to try to force their way across the border. I'd like to hear from some of our liberal-minded friends on what their suggestion is on how that should be handled.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And that's starting to heat up in the news. And it was really funny, Mr. Edwards. I was talking to this lady a couple days ago, and she's talking about, oh, my God, they want to build a wall between Mexico and the United States. I said, have you been to Mexico where the border is? There's kind of a wall there, not a cement concrete wall, but there's a fence all the way through that. But people can still get in. So, and I just add to that to say that people aren't reading. They're not really doing any research. And it's just talking points that they read on social media, basically. You know, and they're bringing that into real conversations that don't have any depth, any research, or any facts. And CNN did a good thing about the Russians, as we mentioned earlier, and the hacking the 2016 elections. And I don't normally throw CNN a bone. But they have a timeline. If you Google CNN's 2016 election timeline, Russian hacking, use those keywords, and they have a timeline that starts out talking about the DNC, how they were hacked, and who got hacked, and where that information, what that information did. I just suggest that people just look and understand that. There's a couple things going on there that you should really know about before you go out in public and spew these talking points. One thing I didn't like.
The Russians are hacking right there from their hacking headquarters in St. Petersburg, Russia. And folks need to spend a little bit more time know how to read a map and understand. They are hacking right now. They have hacked into our grid. As it pertains to the elections and et cetera, they gained access to the largest corporation and manufacturer in the United States of ballot boxes and et cetera. They did that in 2016. It's something you said at the very top of this program is the intellectual absence, if you will, of people who not want to talk about those kinds of things that they really know that they really do not have an understanding of. But right now, as we speak, Russian trawlers, hackers, and et cetera, whatever identification tag you want to give them, are, in fact, interfering with our electoral process because, I have to tell you, Don, the two parties never tried to come together to put together a plan to protect the American people, the American voters, and et cetera. And this is just the beginning of a real a problem that we are seeing that is besieging us. I mean, and we just don't talk about the day-to-day things that are happening. A young, beautiful African-American postal worker is kidnapped, and et cetera. It takes 2 weeks for it to get national plate. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're just in a peculiar place, a peculiar time, with peculiar consequences, if you will. But, hey, all we can do, Donald, is report the information, probe, prod, try to get people to at least think, try to go beyond just their iPad, read, research, if you will. Boy, research is the greatest thing in the world. And, by the way, really get sick and tired of listening to these folks talk about history here in the Twin Cities, and they're now just manufacturing stuff. It's really sad, but hey, you can't say anything about it. But you can say something about it, and folks are saying that you're being disrespectful to our quote unquote historians, whatever that means. We have to talk a little history time, Don.
Well, we have under 10 seconds left. We'd like to thank everybody for listening.
All right, we're out of here. Let's change right back.